It is straight up at 8 o'clock, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show, and welcome to the program today. An absolutely gorgeous Laguna Beach morning as the sun comes through our multicolored glass and sets off this beautiful kaleidoscope on the artist canvas we have here. We welcome, speaking of artist canvases, an artist and a person who is very familiar with artist canvases. He's also a city council member running for re-election. We are very much looking forward to this conversation. Welcoming in for the conversation, Mr. Peter Blake. Welcome today, Peter.
Morning, Ed, and happy birthday yesterday.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. It was a cool, very, very cool day. My thanks to Anne Marie for allowing me all the freedoms that I love on my birthday. So how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. I'm going to push this a little closer to you.
Okay.
All right. And so you've been a council member over these last several years. What makes you want to run again?
I love this community. Okay. I have no interest in politics or being a politician or pursuing a career in politics, but I love this town, and it's what gets me up every morning, and it gets me to work as hard as I do and to fight as hard as I do for the vision that I have for Laguna Beach and its future.
Now, you've been credited with helping to reduce the homeless population in town by almost 60% in just a little over 3 years. There, in that particular subject, what work is left to be done, and how do you do it if reelected?
Well, I think it's important to know how it was reduced. And mind you, I can't take credit for the full reduction. Reducing a homeless population in a community takes a lot of people. But where I can take credit for is that I started the conversation back in 2018 that no one was willing to have. No one was willing to talk about the homeless problem that was starting to take over our community and starting to impact the quality of our lives. Having worked in and out of Santa Monica and Venice because all of my artist studios are there and downtown LA, and traveling around the country to places like Seattle and Portland, New York, Chicago, I had a chance to see firsthand what happens when a community gives in to compassion and loses common sense. And I felt that we were doing that in Laguna Beach. So I ran on it. And I was called everything in the book, including a word that seemed to float around constantly, which was abhorrent. Upon getting elected, because what people said at cocktail parties and what they did when they got into the ballot box were two different things. The community was sick and tired of having these zombies, these meth addicts and heroin addicts roaming the street and making it so that people were afraid to walk around with their strollers, not interested in dropping off their kids on Main Beach or on Forest Avenue. And so once I got elected, I immediately started these seminars, which were meant to educate the public on what we could and couldn't do legally and what the so-called best practices were. So I invited Harley Root. I invited Cotty Petrie-Norris. I invited Dawn Price from the Friendship Shelter. I invited Laura Farinella, our chief of police at the time. And we had these very, very candid conversations about what we could and couldn't do. I also started conversations with the hospital in South Laguna, which had become the psych ward and OD center for all the neighboring communities. So if someone was having a drug overdose or was having a psychotic episode, the Orange County Sheriff brought them in from Dana Point or San Clemente, dropped them off at the hospital, didn't come to pick them back up again.
Right.
That person walked into South Laguna, made their way to Main Beach, became part of our point in time count. Another thing I did is I went to Santa Ana. And I implored the district attorney to please give us a district attorney, our own personal district attorney, because, it's one thing to ask the district attorney of Orange County to prosecute a transient that is smoking or drinking on the beach. It's another thing when you have 20% of the transients creating most of the crime. Well, in that case, you can go out and say, this person's been arrested 20 times, assault, breaking and entering, all these crimes that rise to a level of going to jail. And we got that. And we were able to finally put away the most egregious criminals, the criminal transients, as I call them. And then we could focus on the rest of them. It's an interesting position because it's hard to take credit for reducing the homeless population without raising the ire of the homeless industrial complex. And that includes lawyers, the ACLU, groups that are intent on suing.
Right.
And all you have to do is look at the community that they sued more often than not, which was Laguna Beach, which was the only town that had a shelter and the only town doing things right.
Let me cut in here and ask that. Okay, so you mentioned the hospital and it being the drop-off point and no pickup point, so they were being overwhelmed. The hospital itself. Will you be reaching out to the county to offer more help so that that doesn't happen? And have you reached out to the county so that that doesn't happen?
Yes. Part of our meetings, which are extremely productive, involve members of the hospital, including the CEO. It involves people from the Orange County Sheriff's Department, Fire Department, our city manager, our chief of police. These are meetings that are attended by 15 stakeholders at least. And everyone is all set. At first, the meetings revolved around how can we make this work for the community? But I never for a second thought that this was going to work. You are not bringing in your drug overdoses and psychotics to Laguna Beach. And we found that they were driving past areas that they could be served in San Clemente, in Dana Point, rather than go to Mission Viejo.
Right.
They were coming to us because they knew in Laguna it was easier to just drop them off and move on rather than have to go somewhere else. The hospital has come to terms with the fact that these services do not work in a suburban neighborhood like South Laguna and are working to fix it. And I'm actually very encouraged by what they've been able to accomplish. And I see it, this is a slow moving thing. This isn't going to be all of a sudden we wake up one morning and these services are gone. But I do see this changing because I feel comfortable with the CEO that he has assured us that they are going to do something about it. We've all come to terms with the fact that you can't police your way out of this problem. You can't security guard camera it out of the way. It's going to have to be a cessation of these services in our community.
A foundational solution to it. So it has to be down from the bottom up.
Yeah.
All right. There's so many things to cover this morning, and we'll get to them one at a time. I want to talk for a second about the police union and their political alignment, which seems to be Village Laguna. It seems that they're carrying the water for Village Laguna attacks against city management in these thinly veiled social media posts criticizing city management, including Sheree Dupuy and Jeff Calvert, Chief Jeff Calvert. Am I wrong?
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about them aligning with Village Laguna. I had seen their alignment with a rogue councilman, George Weiss and his wife, and their attempts to create a, this feeling that somehow or another, our chief of police and our city manager aren't doing their job. But, you know, interestingly enough, when you think about this being Village Laguna and alignment with Village Laguna does not like anybody that doesn't toe their line. And for decades, they were able to walk into City Hall and pretty much, muscle their way through everything. And now they have managers that don't, they don't really... They address them as residents, but they don't fear or cower to them as activists. And so the police union has been convinced by George and by these people that they can ferment this this imagined morale problem that we're having at City Hall and somehow or another use it for political advantages. I can't begin to tell you how disappointed I am in Brian Grieve for what he's doing and how he's conjured up this morale problem. That's not saying that there isn't a morale issue. Show me the company and I'll show you a morale issue, at least within a few people there. There's just no way out of it.
Right.
I have morale issues with my own gallery, with me. I have morale issues with myself. So in reality, I arranged for Brian to meet with John Pietig a couple of years ago because there was this feeling that the PEA, the union, was separating itself from City Hall and the residents and somehow or another starting to ferment issues. It was a very, very good meeting. It led to a productive relationship forward. I ran into Brian after Sheree promoted to city manager and asked him how things were going. He said he was meeting with Sheree and everything was going great. And then all of a sudden, there was this association with George Weiss, and everything went downhill. There was a bogus poll that was written, and then George's wife got involved in the local paper, started writing a bunch of BS about it. And next thing you know, this very unscientific poll was supposed to take over a scientific poll that was done that showed that actually morale was fine. And, you know, there was this one thing that, you know, 70% or 80% of the cops were willing to go to another place. Well, that's an easy enough question. If I came to you and said, hey, Ed, would you like to be the DJ on at this radio station and I'll pay you twice as much as you're getting paid? Of course, you would think about it. Maybe you wouldn't want to leave this glorious view of
well,
the hills.
Well, I just, to take a right turn here, many times I've said to myself, well, yeah, I could do network radio all day long in L.A. I wouldn't do it, but I love it here in this community. Yes. But I get what you're saying in that it's a different task. It's a different ask for a police officer, a law enforcement officer, than it is a radio guy.
Yes. Yeah. And in reality, when you look at, all you have to do is look at their endorsement to know just how this has gone off a cliff. Right. They endorsed Jerome Pudwill. Jerome Pudwill has never talked about law and order other than to talk about criminal justice. So this is not a guy that you would immediately associate with the police. Mark Orgill doesn't get much weaker than Mark Orgill. And when you're talking about policing and keeping people safe, you need a certain amount of strength. I'm not up here beating my chest like a gorilla. Right. But, you know, it does. Growing up, there was this man named Frank Perdue. And he was a little man with a squeaky voice that would come on, and his ad said, it takes a tough man to make a tender chicken. And, you know, it comes down to when you're involving yourself in things like police and law and order, it takes a tough man and a tough woman and a tough anybody. My dog is tough enough to do that.
Right.
But when you look at the two of the three people they endorsed, those people are weak. They're not strong enough to back up the police in a way that you would expect. I back up the police to do the job that they're there to do. And frankly, police want to do their job. Right. They don't want to walk around town, looking at the volleyball games. They want to do their job. That's why they got into policing. Of all the careers in the world, somebody doesn't wake up and think, oh, I think I'll be a cop. You know, to be a cop, to be a fireman, those are jobs that it comes from your soul, from your heart, from your gut. You know, our moms all told us you got to be a doctor or a lawyer back in those days. Nobody said, go get shot at, son. go run into a fire, son.
Right.
And so when you look at that, you look at the two people that they endorse, and there's one other person who's Alex Runagi, and Alex is a brilliant young man. And I don't even want to get involved in why they would endorse Alex. I don't see why they wouldn't endorse Alex.
Right.
But I can see why they wouldn't endorse Mark Orgill and Jerome Pudwill. And it's so obvious why they did that, because both of them are running against City Hall and running against Jeff Calvert and Sheree Dupuy. And I've made it no secret that I think Sheree Dupuy is one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. The job that she does at the city of Laguna Beach is literally incredible. And Jeff Calvert is a dream chief of police. You know, this guy's been working in our community for decades. Not only is he a very strong, willed guy that is he's a law and order kind of guy, but he has this extra thing going on about he's compassionate and he's extremely educated. So here's a guy that could bring criminal justice, social justice, compassion to the table while at the same time being that broken windows guy and saying, no, you're not breaking any law in town. I'm not going to look the other way with any of this. You break a law in my town, you're going to jail if that's what it warrants, or you're going to get a ticket, or we're going to make it uncomfortable for you to remain here.
Is it possible to bring the two sides together? Is it possible to bring the police union together with the chief?
Yes, because I already brought them together when I brought Brian and John Petig together. And up at that time, Brian was going around the city and launching and giving things to newspapers and causing all kinds of trouble. After that meeting with John Petig, they established a communication that was pretty much benefiting all sides. The thought that the police union can be against the city of Laguna Beach and actually could ferment issues within the council that's there to support the police who support the community, Maybe I'm missing something. I try to understand, you know, whenever I can't understand something, because there are parts of knowledge that I fail miserably in.
Right.
But then there are things that come very naturally to me. And, you know, when I find myself in a quandary and I'm thinking, what is going on here? Why can't I figure this out? Well, you know what? I was horrible at algebra and I don't know how to read a spreadsheet, so it's easy for me to figure that one out. But when I can't figure out something like this, which involves dealing with people, dealing with an issue, looking at the bigger picture, the vision for Laguna Beach, keeping us safe, then the word politics creeps in. And then I have to put on my political hat and then look at it from pure politics. And what we're seeing right now with Brian Grebe and the police union and George Weiss and some of these people that are involved in this, the Laguna Residents First people and Village Laguna, this is pure politics. This is the removal of power so that they can regain that strong-armed approach that they used to have on the city.
And is this political move making it harder to induce qualified officers to come to town, do you think?
You know, it could. I could see where that might be an issue when someone is considering coming to Laguna Beach and they're reading things that the union is writing about lack of morale and polls that show people want to leave our community. That certainly doesn't help, which is another thing that, you know, putting back my political hat on, I ask myself, how would this be in Brian's interest when we're short-staffed for him to go out and foment problems? It just baffles me. But then again, when I think about what's going on here, this movement towards control, to put their chief of police in, to put their city manager in, to make sure that their council gets in. And because when you have that power, then you can do whatever you want. And power and control is what this is all about. I used to think it was other things. It's power and control.
Right. We spoke last week during the forum, and thank you very much for your participation in the forum last week. We talked a lot about Measure Q, and I asked the question three different ways to both Jerome Pudwill and Ruben Flores of how they could be running for office to be part of a representative government, yet support Measure Q, which is the opposite of that. Does that make any sense to you?
You know, it does. And, you know, this whole thing is really, you know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about Q. And, you know, as someone that believes in the right of the public to be able to vote, I believe that we are a representative government and everyone has the right, as people are listening right now to me discussing where I stand on the issues, they have the right to make the decision to vote Peter in. Or vote no, or vote Jerome, or Mark, or Ruben, or Sue, or Alex, or Lewis, any of the people in that pretty much have won the hearts and minds of, you know, of the residents. What Q does, for starters, it stands for quagmire. And quagmire, to me, is like a mess. And when you look at our zoning and our codes and our everything about this town, it's a mess. And it's an intentional mess that Village Laguna over decades made it that way so that they could always control it. You know, we have all these vague things that are involved with DRB, like, you know, mass and scale, neighborhood compatibility, view equity. All of these things are metaphors for obstruction. And they're so gray that there's really no way of controlling them. But when you control the DRB, you have Meg Monahan, Lorraine Mullenkress, and Karen Luisi up there, and they're getting their phone call from Tony Eisman before the meeting, and Tony's telling them, this is one of our people, make sure they get approved. This person, don't approve that thing. It's blocking a view, you know, up on the hill of one of our people. When you have a situation like that, then you have to kind of come to terms with it. What Q is doing, in my opinion, and it's an 18-page document written by 200 people. I'd like to see those 200 people. It was written by maybe 15 people. And really what they did was they took the Newport Beach and the Costa Mesa ballot initiatives, and they transferred them down to us. And this whole thing is really meant to usurp the power of the voter. You know, they lost in 2018. They lost in 2020. They were not able to regain a quorum that would vote their way. So, and as we were coming into 2022, they had to have been looking at their options. Their options were dim at best.
Right.
I mean, what do you do? Do you run Tony Eisman for another 4 years? The last 4 years, Tony wasn't even there. Tony, in her cognitive impairment, was sitting up there and looking at her phone and answering from her telephone. She had lost the nuances that made her that powerful politician. She had lost her ability to stab you in the back and smile and still be your friend. She had lost everything that had made her great. And now she's up there merely a puppet, and the strings are even broken and frayed. So you can't run her again.
Right.
And who else are you going to run? And we fell for the Trojan horse back in 2020 with George Weiss, who was this reach across the aisle, you know, all these different things. He turned into be the biggest partisan nightmare that you could ever imagine. You know, he was the guy that was going to rein me in.
Did you have hope when he first ran? Was there a
No, you had no hope.
You knew ahead of time.
Because he was one of the biggest and most oppressive opponents I had when I was running for council. This is the guy that drove around the van with the bulldozer and my name on it. He's the guy that was behind massive attacks on next door. He and his buddy Michael Morris and MJ Abraham and Michelle Monda. This is the underground of Laguna Beach. This is the underbelly and their forum is next door, and letters to the editor and cocktail parties where they can, you know, they can spout their hate. But in reality, I knew exactly what we were getting, but it just didn't seem like there was a chance that he could ever win. But again, this is what happens in politics. He ran a brilliant campaign that was backed by people that knew what they were doing, and they sold him as something that he wasn't.
Right.
They even sold him he sold himself as a businessman. He was no businessman. It had been years since he had ever worked a job. This was a guy who was pretty much planting an open space, and that's all he had done. He'd been involved in some local civic associations. In every one of those instances, he had gone in and disrupted the entire board and tried to take it over. So I didn't need to know what was inside the belly of that Trojan horse. I knew what was coming out on the day he got elected. And, you know, if you look at the first thing he did was to bring in Robert's Rules. Robert's Rules was supposed to stop me from being able to express myself. Then he censured me, and that didn't work. And then he turned on to Sue as if Sue couldn't do her job in reining me in. Well, George, you couldn't do your job, could you? Didn't you get elected to rein me in? You couldn't rein me in. Why did you expect Sue to rein me in?
Right.
She doesn't have nearly the gross political, momentum that you have.
I want to shift back to Q for a second.
Okay.
If, in fact, Q passes, tell me about the situation with a possible fire station in South Laguna.
You know, this is part of the whole Q thing, which is just a joke. We went out and we found a property in South Laguna that was a good property, Catalina. And then all of a sudden they went down there and they fermented a bunch of unrest. We had residents coming out and saying their kids were going to get run over by fire trucks. Well, would you rather them burn down in your house? And then we looked at the Tiamo property,
right.
But the Tiamo property was close to John Thomas, and John Thomas didn't want a fire station in his backyard. So he all of a sudden got politically active. And rather than say that, how can we mitigate this situation, he chose to fight Sheree Dupuy and the council on the big mistake that we made, They don't know that it's a big mistake, just like we don't know that it can't be a really great fire station.
Right.
But at the time, this is what we had to work with, and we needed a fire station in South Laguna, and we bought the property. Now, subsequently found a better property that wasn't available, and now we're looking at buying another property, which is going to be great. And what are the naysayers going to say when we put Tiamo on the market and sell it at a profit and use that money to pay for the fire station?
Exactly. Was going to be my next question. When the city sells Tiamo, it's bound to pocket a healthy profit. It's bound to from the sale. And you can use that for any number of things to do here in the community. What do you say to those that complained about the how big I told you so will that be when the profit is huge?
There's never an I told you so when it comes to these people, because no sooner do you answer a question than they're on to the next question, which is a rigged question that's meant to take you down. So by the time the Tiamo sale takes place and it turns into a profit for the community,
right,
it will have moved on to something else. It would behoove me to be careful with them, because even the property that they're all okay with now, who knows what's going to happen when we get into that process. Same with St. Catharines. Everybody's just fine with St. Catharines. But I'm sure that these people will use St. Catharines like they use everything else to somehow or another ferment a problem. But The Q thing to me that's really important is that this is meant to bring power back to Village Laguna and Laguna Residents First and all their proxy groups. And it will usurp the voter. And all of a sudden, you're back to where we were years ago before I got elected, where we had no rights as residents. All of our rights were dictated to us by this brutal design review board, this visionless planning commission, this, you know, this bureaucratic city hall that, you know, for years, it was all designed to fit the need. So now that's all gone, and we have these really forward-thinking people like Mark Weiner and Mark McAvoy and Russell Bunin and Jeremy and Anthony Vieira and all these great people that are there that are young, they're smart, they're thinking outside the box. They're all going to get squashed. And what Q will do is it'll make it impossible to get some of these small businesses. They say, we don't want chains. We don't want formula businesses. Well, when you have something like Q and you need to go to a vote of the people, who can afford that? In 1993, when I opened the art gallery, I was a waiter. What are the chances that I could afford $100,000 to go to the people and get a vote? What are the chances that I could tell them at that time that I plan on opening a fine art gallery? This isn't going to be like, you know, a huge gym where lots of people are coming to it. You know, there's parking in the shopping center, albeit it's all taken up by the Heidelberg Bakery. But I don't really plan on parking. And I'll be walking to work. My wife and I have one car. She'll be driving and dropping me off. You know, there were all these things that how could I possibly hire the lawyer? Hire the entitlement consultant, hire the right architect and the right contractor, and then go to my landlord who was counting the seconds for me to sign the lease, not because he was eager to get me in there, because he needed to lease that space out. You think I could have gone to him and said, hey, you know what, I need 6 months to a year to get through this process, and I can't give you that down payment, you know, or that first and last right now, because I need to pay, you know, the dream team $1,000 an hour to have lunch and figure out how to get me into this project.
Right.
That's what Q kills. Q kills the momentum that we're on, and that's why they brought Q in. There's no development. Show me the development that's crazy. Oh, they talk about future development. Well, what about future development? We have, you know, the Museum Hotel up in North Laguna. It came before the city 4 years ago. It got squashed. It hasn't come back yet. You know, you look at the Hotel Laguna. We finally got the restaurants open. We finally issued the permits, and the rooms are now under construction. You have the Clio. It was a really grand idea. Mo realized that, oh, wow, there's a lot of whatever here. I'm moving on, and now it's being remodeled. So, you know, Mo Honaker, Chris Dornan, Joe Hanauer, the big developers in this town, are really smart enough to see through the picture. They don't need to have something like Q tell them, because frankly, the Laguna Residents First say that this will allow and help the real estate people to really understand where they are so that they can tailor their projects. How about they're moving on to another place? They're not going to work within the confines of this. There's a lot of money involved here. You know, the other thing I love that they say is that this is a vote for the people. This is democracy. And then on the other side of their mouth, they say that if you look at Costa Mesa, they've never had a single vote. And if you look at Newport Beach, they've only had 3 votes in decades. And, you know, it's not like, you know, whatever. So which one is it? Is this really for the people to vote on? Or is this really nobody's voting because the developers all say, adios, we're not developing in here. And what, you know, when I get a lot of heat from my support of developers in town. So my job as a councilman in Laguna Beach is to see through the vision that I said in 2018 I wanted. I want it small and quaint. I don't want glass high rises here. I have never discussed breaking the height variance in this community. I don't want glassy skyscrapers. I don't want high density. I don't want any of it. I like it the way it is. But does that mean I wouldn't prefer it to be more like a little Montecito, a little Carmel, a little more Hamptons, a little more Aspen, just something that feels more cultured, more sophisticated? We have people that have moved here in the last 20 years that don't share the same vision for this community. They share a different vision. Why is it not okay for them to realize their vision? They don't have the memories of playing kickball on PCH after Memorial Day. They don't remember the days when these were small little houses houses that were, you know, pretty much people came in from Pasadena for 6 weeks of the year and left. And then I remember the days when Memorial Day came, the next day it was like turning the switch off. Those days are gone. That train left the station. You're not bringing the train back in. So now my job is to work with the developers to make sure that we, the residents, get what we really want and need out of this community. So when some of my colleagues say that they don't like this person, they don't have relationships with this person, they won't talk to Mohanarka or whatever, I can't help but think to myself, what kind of a fool would say something like that? Right. How could you possibly not have maintain a relationship with someone who owns tens of millions of dollars in real estate? Even if you use the old adage that, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Right.
Know what they're doing. But to cease all communications, you know, with these people, I'm not drinking buddies with any of these guys. But I happen, if they call me, if Chris Dornan calls me, if Mohanarka calls me, if Joe Hanauer calls me, if any of them call me, I'm there to talk to them. Because what they do impacts my resident. And so I'm there to discuss anything with them. And if you look at what these naysayers are coming up with about these huge properties that they're what they're about to become, well, if you look at the people behind them, these aren't fools. These are self-made men that made a lot of money. And they're not stupid enough to propose something twice that the first time got shot down. Have you ever asked out a girl who said a hard no? And did you go back again? I mean, it's just like...
No, I asked her sister out.
You know, so... Or you might go back and say, okay, I get it now. I get it now. You know, she didn't like my outfit.
Right.
You know, we were watching this show last night, Narcos. I don't know what made us watch that show. But there was this scene where one of the main drug dealers goes up to this beautiful girl and he says, would you like to dance with me? And she said, no. And he said, give me a reason. She said, I'll give you three reasons. I don't like your shirt, I don't like your pants, and I don't like your boots, which was pretty much implying that, you know what? You look like a ranchero coke dealer. You don't look like somebody that me from high society would have a dance with.
Right. Which brings me to this point. You were talking at one of the forums about bringing in a higher spending tourist for the day, someone yes. that's going to go to restaurants, someone that's going to stay at a hotel, as opposed to day trippers.
Yes.
Yet it was made to believe you don't want the day trippers here.
That's nonsense.
Clear that up for us.
That's absolute nonsense. And again, this goes back to the false narrative that Villa Laguna and George Weiss and Tony Eisman and all of them can't get enough of. This old tired old mantra. If you look at the facts, never mind the nonsense. If you look at the facts. The huge increase in tourism and day trippers came while Tony Eisman was on the dais. Now, why did that happen? That happened because she and her fellow tribe brought in, they dumbed the town, they kept the town dumb, they kept it low class, and that's what it attracted. You know, I have never thought of going to St. Bart's. Why? Because I can't afford to go to St. Bart's. Even if I could afford the flight to St. Bart's, when I got there, the $25 latte, that just doesn't fit into my budget. So I'm not going there. But that doesn't mean that Steph and I can't go to Cambria. That doesn't mean that we can't go to Pacific Grove. That doesn't mean that we can't go to Manzanita in coastal Oregon and totally enjoy ourselves. That doesn't mean that others can't go and camp and sleep in their Sprinter van and go to the most beautiful places in Big Sur. You know, we find our comfort zone. And what Tony and her and Villa Laguna did over those decades by restricting good businesses from coming in, restricting really quality people from visiting this community, was to dumb it down and make it so low class that everyone felt comfortable here. And they're the reason that we have 6 million tourists. Now, it could also be argued, and it's a good argument, that we had a lot of building in inland, and that person came right straight to the nearest beach. But by all the business restrictions and our inability to clean up our buildings downtown and everything else, all these oppressive restrictions that they placed on us, the downtown steadily went down and down and down, and it became decrepit. And finally, you lost the few Europeans, the few New Yorkers, the few Texans. All the people that used to come here and spend money disappeared all of a sudden. When those people disappear, now you can't have a really fine retail and dining experience. It gets dumbed down to t-shirts, ice creams, and anything that a poor person can afford. I have nothing wrong with people coming and enjoying themselves. When I came to Laguna Beach, I didn't have any money. I wasn't rich. And I came here and I loved this town and ended up settling in this town. So who be? How could I possibly have an issue with that? What I want to do is I want to attract more sophisticated, wealthier, cultured tourists to come to this community, visitors, and spend money in this community so that those funds can go to pay for the day tripper. And by the way, I heard Mark Orgill, who's running, and all of a sudden, you know, he's turned into the greatest armchair quarterback imaginable, talking about putting people in neighborhoods, you know, blocking the neighborhoods from tourist parking there and all this crazy stuff. He doesn't know anything about the Coastal Commission.
Right.
And if you knew anything about the Coastal Commission, you would know that their job and their focus is to make sure that people can come to this beach. You can't even limit the time they can come here. They can come here. We struggle to get a 1 o'clock in the morning deadline because the Coastal Commission wants you to be able to come to the beach at 3 o'clock in the morning. They don't care about you, Mr. Rich Guy, sitting on the coast that doesn't want to hear somebody having sex on the beach. They don't care that you don't want someone fishing outside your daughter's window. It doesn't matter to them. So when you talk about things like, oh, I want resident-only parking with permits in this neighborhood, they laugh at you. When you try to raise the parking meters to a point where they think you might be trying to engage in social justice issues that they may have, that all of a sudden it's too expensive for the beachgoer to come here, when you try to raise the price of a hotel and all of a sudden somebody can't afford to come here, you've got the Coastal Commission, and they're not elected. They don't answer to anybody, especially not a weak guy like Mark Orgill.
All right. So a couple of questions before I let you go.
Sure.
One is, most recently, all kinds of noise is being made about something called the Heisler Park Press, and all kinds of accusations being made that you're a part of it. Clear that up for us right now, if you would.
Well, for starters, I can't be involved legally with anything that's happening outside, especially if it's by a PAC or whoever it is. If it's a PAC, I can't be involved in it. So as far as I'm concerned, I welcome the Heisler Press. I welcome anybody that comes into this town, because you can't have the same people with the same voice over and over and over again. And what's their issue with the Heisler Press? That they're reading things about their preferred candidates that they don't like? If Ruben posts pictures of himself in the nude on social media or sends these things out, if Ruben is up on the dais with a drink in his hand, how is that any different than Jerome Pudwill spreading lie after lie after lie on Nextdoor and Laguna Locals? And how is that different than Deborah Lawton, as she calls herself, who's Deborah Weiss, posting letters to the editor in The Independent? I don't understand what the Heisler Press, how am I behind the Heisler Press? You know, is it my organization? No, it's not my organization. Do they consult me on what they're writing? No, they don't. As far as I'm concerned, I welcome the Heisler Press. So I will say that. I like the idea of having an alternative press to counter the other side, because, you know, the average resident, they're at home all day long. They're at home all day long. Some of them are at home, luckily enough, to be at home all day long. A lot of them don't care. They elect the people that are going to run their community. And the rest of the time, they're raising their children. They're taking care of their needs at home. They're going to work. They're paying their mortgages. They're paying the outrageous taxes. They're dealing with DRB. They're dealing with all these different issues that they're dealing with in their day-to-day lives. That's what they pay me the big bucks to go. And I would like to, you know, just finish off with this incivility thing that you know, is the easiest thing that you can pin on me. I am incredibly incivil. There's just no way around it. I've owned it. I've made no apologies for it. I can be hot-tempered. I have thin skin. I can be foul-mouthed when you push me to that place. But you push me to that place. I don't wake up in the morning and look for that. I don't walk into a council meeting looking for trouble. I don't start fights. I've never started a fight with anybody. I have finished every fight that's ever been started against me. To me, when they cry, "We want civility," all I hear is, "We want you to acquiesce." I don't hear anything about civility, because if the people that are screaming for my civility really understood what I deal with, if they walked a mile in my shoes and they dealt with the pigs that I deal with, and they had any idea what it's like to deal with Gene and Johanna Felder and Village Laguna and Laguna Residents First and all of these people that come up and spew lies and hate online all day long at every single chamber, every single council meeting we have in the chamber. When you look at the people that I have to deal with, what am I supposed to do? And if you look at the people that surround me, they're all weak. I don't have any strong people. So maybe if I had two other people that were sharing in the fight with me that could stand up and say, you stop right there, Gene Felder. It wasn't, we didn't commit a Brown Act violation. George Weiss and Tony Eisman committed it and stopped playing that game on a technicality. If they took some of that heat off, if I was a third of the stand up and fight, then it wouldn't be so bad. But when I have to do all the fighting by myself up there, when I am the only one that will fight, of course I have to fight 10 times harder. I have to fight 3 times harder. So, you know, as far as incivility goes, if anyone's expecting the incivility to go away, it will go away when the Tony Eismans and the George Weisses of the world stop their
yes. There's a big sign right there, man. Just a giant sign hanging in front of me.
When you think of those people, that word comes out. You know, when you think about incivility, look at the people that are passively, aggressively doing that. What are these people doing to our city manager, to our chief of police, to our head of community development? They show up at the Coastal Commission meetings and fight against their own city. George Weiss and Tony Eisman have testified against their own city at the Coastal Commission. So what do you do with that? Are you supposed to stay civil? Are you supposed to just be passive and say, oh, well, okay, you know, whatever. How could I go back to the people that voted for me and say, well, you know what? I just didn't want to be uncivil.
Let's talk about going back to the people that voted for you the first time. Now you're making the second run, and a lot of people say that the second run is much tougher than the first run. Take a minute and make your case for re-election, please.
I promised that I was going to make Laguna safer, law and order. I delivered on that promise. I promised that I was going to rid us of the DRB nightmare, and I was going to clear the way for us to be able to express ourselves in our homes. And the days of them dictating the outside of our home and the inside of our home were over. I gutted the DRB. I recruited and appointed the best DRB we could ever imagine having. I said that I was going to bring a better retail and dining experience. I was for gutting the Forest Avenue and closing it down way before COVID. I attended the MIG meetings. We were at a debate when 11 of us were asked if we would close down Forest Avenue. I was the one and only person that had the guts to stand up and say, I'll close it down. So we closed it down. We brought in outdoor dining. We saved our retail establishment, and we're just getting started. That's going to be the most beautiful area, Forest Avenue. We've brought the locals finally in off the hills. They're spending money at our retail, which will mean that our retail will start to move up now. I said that I was going to bring visionary planning back to planning. We did that. We recruited and appointed new planning people, and they pretty much emboldened our current planning people that were there already to think outside the box, and now we have this incredible planning commission. I said that I was going to remove the stranglehold that Village Laguna had on this community and City Hall. We have new people at City Hall. They're operating. They're doing an incredible job, and they're just getting started. You know, what a lot of people are knocking them, for delays and stuff, those delays are because not only are they having to do their job every day, but they're having to unravel this code that is absolutely intense and crazy. So they're doing all of this simultaneously. I like to think of our City Hall right now as a rig sitting on top of the sand, and they're just about to hit oil. And the other side knows that we're about to do all the things that we need to do, and they're flipping out, and they're trying everything they can to sabotage that pipeline because they know we're right there. We've gotten all the approvals we need. Mark Weiner has gone through and gotten the approvals we need from the Coastal Commission. We've voted all of these things in. It's all set to go. I delivered on all of that. I delivered on everything I said I was going to deliver on. So when you're looking at these other candidates right now and they're talking about, oh, he's uncivil. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. He's going to, scrape the town. 4 years later, can you show me a bulldozer with my name on it? 4 years later, can you show me? They say all it takes is 3 councilmen to change the whole thing. Oh, really? Is that all it takes? I've seen 3 councilmen not be able to get a simple deck for somebody. We have lawsuits in North Laguna right now over a porch in the front of someone's house. We have a family that's living next door to their dream house because they can't get in because the Kathy Jerkas of the world and Village Laguna and all these people have sued this family on totally bogus issues. So when you tell me that 3 people are going to raise the height limit in Laguna Beach and all it takes is 3 people, that's nonsense. It goes to the Coastal Commission. It goes through zoning. It goes through planning. It goes through the intense debate that's going to take place. It would at best take years. And by that time, the other side would have enough time to get more council people in there and use that as a real thing. Not a conjured up, they're going to destroy Laguna, the old mantra that they've been using for 50 years. You at that point could say, hey, that guy, look, here it is right here. He voted to move this thing forward. Make sure in 2 years from now, we get this guy out of here, because it's going to take some time. But by the time it comes out of the Coastal Commission and by the time it goes through all the zoning and planning and everything else, we have a chance to get him out of there. And this time around, it's not us lying. It's actually proof. Here's the proof. So show me the proof of anything. You know, all I've done is I've worked within the context of our current buildings. Nothing has been built. You know, I fought for the live workspace. I want to house people in this town. Housing artists is right along the same road as housing our elders, housing people that work here in the city that need to be able to live here. I don't want to be the youngest guy in town at 58 years old.
You're a young blood. You're young compared to me here. Peter Blake, current city council candidate running for re-election. As always, thank you for spending time with us this morning. The very best of luck to you on the road.
Thank you.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying listening audiences that any opinions expressed on our shows are not representative of Laguna Radio, Inc., its management, or its board of directors.